Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read two verses from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, no one knows more than I the difficulty of the task that I'm undertaking today. And that is to speak publicly of the mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk tonight, to this afternoon, about the mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet said, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." The word mystery is used in reference to Christ numbers of times in the scripture. I'm going to give you just three. Don't look them up. I'm going to quote them for you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world." Paul said in Ephesians 5, "This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and his church." In Ephesians 6, Paul said again, "Pray for me." And that's what I asked you this morning. Pray for me. Pray for me. "That utterance may be given unto me to open my mouth boldly to make known to you the mysteries of Jesus Christ." That's what Paul said. Pray for me. Pray for me. "That utterance might be given to me to open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ." So let's take the scripture, Isaiah 9, look at it, verse 6, and talk about it just phrase after phrase. It says, first of all, listen now, verse 6, Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, and a son is given." In the same breath that Isaiah calls him a child, he calls him the counselor. In the same breath that he calls him the son, he calls him the everlasting father. There's no contradiction here, but there's a great mystery here. The infant is infinite. The infant born to Mary is infinite. He's a man of sorrows, yet he's the mighty God. He's despised of men, but he's the glory of God. Think about that. His garments are rolled in blood, and yet he's called the Prince of Peace. And that's a mystery. That's a mystery. In the same breath, he calls him an infant. He said he's infinite. In the same breath, he's called a man of sorrows. He's called a mighty God. In the same breath, where men despise Him and turn thumbs down on Him, He's called the very glory of God. I tell you this, all of this Scripture that I've just read ought to remind every one of us of the necessity of carefully studying the Scriptures regarding this man, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I warn everybody, let's read before we write. Told somebody one time, don't write a book till you're past 50 years old, because you'll have to take most of it back. Let us study before we speak. We are indeed saved by look. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, I'm God, we're saved by look. But we'll never on this earth, no matter how long we live, understand and enter into the wisdom and mystery and knowledge hidden in this person. He's not discovered by reason. He's not discovered by research. He's discovered by revelation. He revealed His Son in me. Revealed. No man has seen God at any time. The blessed Son of God revealed. Not by research. Not by reason. By revelation. And one great old poet said this. I've listened to the preacher. And truth by him has been shown. But I need a greater teacher from the everlasting throne, because revelation is the work of God alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples one day, Whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. And our Lord said, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't learn that by research and reason. Flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed art thou, my Father, has revealed unto you who I am. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us look at it. Unto us, here it is, unto us a child is born. A child is born. And a son is given. Now there's no repetition here. Somebody might say, well, that's saying the same thing. A child is born, a son is given. Oh, no, it's not. Not by any means. There's no repetition here. A child is born. Darcy and I just had our fourth great grandchild, Isabella. She's 1 month old. She's a child. She's never lived here before. And a child, Jesus Christ, was born back yonder 2,000 years ago. A child made of a woman just like my granddaughter. My great-granddaughter was made of a woman. A child who lay in the womb for 9 months. Jesus Christ laid in the womb of his mother 9 months. A child who came forth as all children did, and got his nourishment from his mama's breast. A tender branch, a root out of dry ground. But he's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Can you understand that? A child is born. That's right. A child is born. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, fashioned and formed in the womb just like any other child, and he was born of Mary. And you know what it says about him? I don't understand this at all. He increased. Jesus Christ increased. He grew up in a carpenter shop working side by side with his father, with his dad. How do you call it? He's not the Father of Christ. Who is he then? But he worked side by side with Joseph. That's the name I'll give him. Joseph. And the scripture says he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You understand that? I don't. But I know he's a child. I know he's a man. Tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was born of a woman. A child is born. But now watch this now. A son is given. He wasn't born. Jesus Christ himself was not born. That person who inhabited that body, that Mary's body presented to him, that he wasn't born. He was sent from heaven. He came down and inhabited that body. That's exactly right. He was sent from heaven to occupy the body, the Son of Man, called now the God-man. There's so much one, you just have to say them together, the God-man. The God-man. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child. And you'll call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God. God with us. Is Jesus Christ God? He's God. He called himself, I am. The same God who spoke to Moses. And Moses said, whom shall I say sent me? You tell him, I am. Sent you. And that's who Christ is. I am. I am. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Let's see if I can make good on this. John chapter 1. Watch this now. Let me show you something. Arthur Pink gave me this when I was reading his studies in John. Look at verse 1 of John 1. Verse 1, John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now look back at down at verse 14. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And back up to verse 1. And the Word was with God, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. He dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Back to my text, Isaiah 9. All right, a child is born. A son is given. And it says here, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. We're not talking about the governments of this world. We're not talking about the states and the countries and things of this world. We're talking about the universe. Upon his shoulders is the universe. God Almighty is eternal kingdom. Jesus Christ reigns over all of it. I got to go back to Colossians again. Go with me to Colossians 1. Let's look at it again. Colossians chapter 1. Listen to this. Colossians 1 verse 12. Colossians 1 12. The government shall be on his shoulders. Colossians 1 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us qualified, made us fit, meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God through Christ has fixed us up, made us fit, made us qualified, to reign in glory with him. Read on. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's the government that's on his shoulder. It's the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's what I said. Jesus Christ is the image, the visible manifestation of the invisible God. That's who he is. You want to know who he is? He's the image of the invisible God. He's the exact likeness. He's the visible manifestation of God Almighty. The disciples said to him, show us the Father. Show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. He said, you've seen me. You've seen my Father. I and my Father are one. That's right. I and my Father. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. I don't care whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. All things created by Him. For Him. And He's before all things. That's who we're talking about. I wish I had the ability, don't you, Tom, to talk about this in a way that every one of us could flat understand it. The government should be on His shoulders. It's always been there. Now watch verse 6 of my text. Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. He reigns, He rules over all things. The government should be on His shoulders, and His name should be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Somebody said to me one time, you know, I hesitate to use that word wonderful except in reference to Him. Because that's His name. And you know, we carelessly call many things wonderful, wonderful, that are unworthy of such a distinction. But He's worthy. And His name is Wonderful. Let me give you two scriptures. Isaiah said this, O God, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things. Wonderful things. For Thy counsel is of old, and it's faithful. Faithful and true. Listen to David. Lord, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. It's too high for me. His name is wonderful. Wonderful. His name, wonderful. Well, read on. And His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. I hear these people on TV, the call-ins, you know, and they talk to people and they say, now, write us a letter and we'll give you counsel. Let me tell you something. The world is full of people who want to be counselors. The world is full of people who want to be advisors. And I know they serve a certain purpose, but there's only one counselor. There's only one counselor. And He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's the counselor. Let me read you a scripture. Isaiah 40. Turn to Isaiah 40. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. 40 verse 13. His name is Counselor. Isaiah 40 verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel? Who instructed Him? Who taught Him the path of judgment? Who taught Him knowledge? Who showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket, and they're counted as a small dust to the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing. They're counted to Him less than nothing. To whom then will you liken my counselor? To whom then will you liken my God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? You want counsel? Turn to the Word of God. He is wonderful, and He is our counselor. And He is, look back at my text, and He is the mighty God. I would like for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 14.
John 14. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. That's who he is. I quoted this a moment ago, but I want you to turn and read it. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto them, unto his disciples, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. The Father, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, well, Lord, show us the Father. It sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. Believe me. Believe me. Oh, believe me. I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Believe me. Christ is the way. This is a great hymn. I don't know whether it's Mike has this or anybody's put it to on paper with a tune. But here is the way, the truth, and the life. Watch, listen to this. Christ is the way. To him alone, from sin and death we flee. And all that would the Father see must seek him, Lord, in thee. Christ is the truth. His word alone true wisdom must impart. Christ alone can open my mind and purify my heart. Christ is the life. The open tomb proclaims our conquering Lord. And those who rest their hope in him, nor death nor hell can harm. O Lord, thou art the way, thou art the truth, thou art the life. Grant me to know that way. Grant me that truth to see, and grant me that life to gain throughout God's eternal day. That's it, isn't it? Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I have three questions for you. Three questions closing this message. Here are three questions. Is this gospel of the God-man, is it true? I preached it almost 60 years, since I was 24 years old. Is it true? Is it according to the Word of God? Well, Abraham says it is. Abraham, the Scripture says, saw my day. Abraham saw my day. He saw it, and he was glad. Moses believed it. Scripture says Moses wrote of me. The angels of God, they announced his coming. They said to the shepherds on the Judean hillside, behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. John, the forerunner of Christ, he said one day, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. O Simeon, the Lord appeared to Simeon and told him that he had not died till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when Mary brought the Lord Jesus Christ into the temple that day, old man Simeon took him up in his arms and said, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to your word. I've seen your salvation." What had he seen? A baby. An infant. The Son of God. The God-man. That old man saw Christ. And he said, "Now let me die." The Heavenly Father said, he bore witness. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He said, "This is my Son. Hear him. Hear him." Even the evil spirits. Let me read you this. The evil spirits cried out when Christ Jesus walked up, and they said, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of God? Are you come to torment us before the time?" Abraham knew him. Moses knew him. John the Baptist knew him. Heavenly Father knew him. Simeon knew him. Even the evil spirits knew him. And the Spirit of God says, when the Spirit comes, he'll take the things of mine, show them to you. And then the prophets and the apostles and all the writers of Holy Scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to turn to this scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Now listen to this. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Who is he? God, who at sundry times. Hebrews 1, verse 1. "And in divers manners spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, and being the brightness of God's glory, and the exact image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." That's who he is. Now here's my second question. If all these things that I preached and you've heard and you've read for years, if all these things about Christ are true, what does that mean to me and you? But I'll tell you, listen to me. If these things are true, and they are, then I have a mediator with the Heavenly Father, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. And there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and me, and that's this man, Jesus Christ. And that's what it means. If these things are true, I've got a mediator. I've got an advocate. Number two, I have a ransom. You know what Job said? "Deliver him from going down into the pit. God's found a ransom." Who's God's ransom? Jesus Christ. He bore our sins in his body on the tree and put them away. And their sins and iniquities no more. I have a ransom. The price is paid. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. And he paid it. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed as white as snow. Thirdly, I have a righteousness before God. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made in him righteousness of God. He is my righteousness. He is my righteousness. He himself is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. And then watch this. These things being true, I have a hope. I'm 81 years old. And Raph, you're a little older than I am, just a slight bit. And we're not going to be around here much longer. But I tell you, we're going to be with him. We have a blessed hope, a sure hope, a certain hope, a living hope, and Christ is my hope. That's absolutely true. "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation." He's already passed from death to life. He lives and we live in him. All right, here's my third question. What about folks who don't believe this? What about folks who don't believe His Word? Who never have received Christ as Lord and Savior? What about them? Well, they don't have a mediator. They don't have an advocate with God. They're going to die in their sins. And Christ said, if you die in your sins, you can't come where I am. They have no mediator. They have no advocate. Number two, they don't have a ransom. They don't have a sin. Their sin debts are too heavy to pay. He hasn't paid them. Like Cain of old, they're going to wander through eternity. My punishment is greater than I can bear. And it is. It's not greater than He bears. He bore it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now they have no mediator. They have no ransom. They've got no robe of righteousness. They have no palms of victory. They have no new song. All they got, filthy rags. Filthy rags. And when God sees them at the marriage supper of the Lamb, He said, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment on? How'd you get in here without a wedding garment? Bind him hand and foot. Cast him out. That's sad. That's sad. And I'll tell you this. We preached it. Our Lord Jesus Christ declared it. The apostles and all these men that I've quoted have declared. Why don't you believe it? Lay hold upon him. I was out in California preaching several years ago. And I preached this message right here, down to the very points that I've given to you. I preached this message just like I preached it out there years ago. And a man heard it. I forget his name, don't know how I knew his name. But he came up to me and he said, that's the truth. And he said, I believe it. But he said, I've got a friend, a man I've known a long time, and he doesn't believe this message. He won't hear this message. He's in a rest home. And he's living his last days. He's got a good mind. But he will not let anybody talk about religion to him. But I want him to hear this message. Can you get me a copy of it? I said, well, they're making tapes here. And you can certainly have a copy of it. He said, I want that message to take to that man. And he said, he told me later the next day, I took it to him. He's got it. And I told him, I said, my friend, I'm not going to talk religion to you. He said, you've told me many times you don't want anybody coming in here talking religion because nobody believes in the real God. Nobody believes God. Well, this man here, I want you to hear this message. That's what he said to the man. I want you to hear this message. Will you promise to hear this message? Okay. So he said, another day or two passed, and I went back. And this is what he said. This is what he said. Now, let me quote it here. He said, this is what he said in reply to that man. The reason I ask that no one talk to me about religion is because I've never heard anyone that I thought knew the truth about God and religion. So I don't want them to talk to me. But I heard this tape, and I can believe in a God like that. I can believe in a God like that. I would like to hear some more about Him. That's what I've tried to do this morning. Talk about Him. Chris asked me, they said, did that guy come to the knowledge of the Lord? I said, I never saw him again, nor the man that took the tape. But he gave me a good picture for you to see. I can believe in a God like that. I can believe in a God like that. I can believe in the God-man. I can believe in Him who's wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. I can believe that. And brother, I do. Thank you.